Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
It's after the 21st of March, so it is officially spring. And if your weather is anything like ours, it's probably warming up and everybody's enjoying it. We had the solar eclipse today. Didn't get to see much of it, man. Like where we are, it was just like a hazy cloud, but there was like no real, you know, no real solar activity for us, which is unfortunate. However, spring football is right around the corner. If you're a hardcore fan of any Power Four team, that's right. Everybody is starting to call it the Power Four, which is crazy. You could probably catch your team on television. I didn't realize, you know, we talked about this last year, but like spring games are starting to gain a lot of momentum.
Absolutely.
And like,
I'm jealous, man. I'm so jealous, especially because it's supposed to rain on Friday. We'll talk about that more.
Yeah, because when we went through, you know, when I went through, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, but how all the channels are showing it. Like, everybody's televising their stuff. But anyway, Nick Saban is retired, but somehow, you know, Bama made it into the Final Four. Is there some of that mojo rubbing off on the basketball team? The Army men's lacrosse team really needs to win the Patriot League title if they want to qualify for the NCAA tournament. They've been playing well, but they stumbled a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Welcome back, Trash Talkers. This is the College Football Roundtable. Obviously, we're talking about spring football, but we're also going to give you a quick update on all the spring sports that are going on here in the Army universe and somewhere else in the country as well. I'm your host, Rob, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Dan, I do have a question for you. All right. UConn, what's the deal? Is there excitement? Is there buzz? Because
it's kind of passed under the radar in my circle. I mean, you know, between work, my daughter came home from UVM this weekend. Like, I'm not deeply connected to college basketball generally and UConn sports in any way really particular. I follow UConn college football a little bit more just because it's like such an interesting rebuilding story.
Yeah.
But the dynasty of their basketball programs is, it's like part of the wallpaper almost, you know, it's like part of the furniture around here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell you what, cause it's so crazy. Like, everybody's so excited for UConn and everything that they're doing. They actually had a news story locally here about a guy that transferred from ECU to UConn. And like, it's so great. Cause I guess, you know, after NC State got whacked, you know, they had to talk about something in the college sports pantheon. So that was one of the things that they did. And they did a whole story on the 83 team that won the national championship in at NC State. But, you know, I think it's just, it's interesting. It's a cool time of year. And as spring ball starts to pick up and with the new football leagues, I think you're going to start to see a little bit more interest, you know, in the spring sports, because like, this is kind of like the lull, unless you're a hardcore baseball or lacrosse fan.
This is the hardest time of the year to be a sports fan, for sure. I mean, it's like pro wrestling, early season baseball, college lacrosse, which is awesome, and basketball coming to the end. But yeah, it's the UFL needs to take off and grow wings. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure, in a big way. But speaking of that, my name's Rob, and we got a commercial. So if you like Ask for Football and you want to support our coverage of RV sports and the American Conference football, we could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/AskForFootball to learn more. We also have some links on our website, and that's askforfootball.com. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks. That's Dan and the crew trying to be smarter than the prognosticators in Vegas. So check it out, because it's an option to kind of see, you know, how we view college football. We give some insights on the games that we're picking and the reasons why, and it may change your thought process. Who knows? At the Cal level, you get picks plus our weekly scouting report. And at the Firstly level, you get access to our exclusive Firstly Club, which is our private Facebook group for our top level patrons. Right now we have no people from the First Day Club, man, which is kind of odd. It's Tuesday or Monday evening.
It's a Monday. They're a little off.
Yeah, it's a Monday. It's the best place to talk about Army sports and just college sports in general, because we're all super fans and we try really, really hard to keep it positive. It's a private group, so whatever you say, stays there and gives you access to live recordings like this one. So you get to interact with us during the show. For those of you on Twitter, unfortunately, unless you are a blue check, you can't interact with us, which is kind of not the best. However, we're doing these open. This is kind of like our NPR fundraiser. You know, I was joking earlier with Dan a couple weeks ago and said, like, hey, maybe we should send out Astro Football tote bags for everybody that signs up for the first club. But you get access to the recordings. And to be honest, we spent a lot of money in the last year to grow and develop the show and make it better for you guys. So we use StreamYard now, which is what we're recording on right now. We use Podcastle AI to improve sound quality, and we have regular recording time so folks can join us live. All that stuff takes time and money, and that's why we need your support. You know, this is the real reason why the show is open right now on YouTube and Twitter. You know, our Firsty Club guys can check in as well, but we're doing this. This is kind of like, hey, here's your touch point. If you like what we're doing, sign up. I mean, it couldn't hurt.
If you want to give us feedback during the show, which we love, and we have that all the time with the members of the Firsty Club when, you know, football is going on, this being primarily a football show, then the Firsty Club is the best way to do that. And yeah, as long as we're talking about our games and locks of the week, like, we have some talented sickos in the club that, you know, bet aggressively on games and make money. So I think getting Rob's and our takes on who's going to win games and then the feedback from the peanut gallery on what they're doing, somewhere in there is the right answer. I don't know if it's necessarily just me and Rob.
Yeah,
there's some guys in there that their feedback is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and again, it's always nice to go, like, if you're 50%, you're doing well, but when you kind of look at the games as a community, you might get an insight that you wouldn't normally catch on, and so that's why it actually works out a little bit better. But speaking of football, let's talk about spring football. Dan, great job on the article. It dropped today. We posted it all over the socials. If you haven't read it, go to askforfootball.com. And check it out. Dan did a really good job kind of previewing what you're going to see in the spring game. And you've been to a spring game before, so feel free to kind of tell us about that experience.
So the first thing to know about the Army spring game is that it is not going to look like Army football in the fall. They throw 500% more. You know, I remember a couple years ago, there was Tyer Tyler versus Jabari Laws as respective captains of the two teams when they were either plebes or yearlings. And dude, they must have thrown swing passes to the fullback 8 times in that game, and we didn't see one of those. They didn't throw to the fullback 1 time that entire ensuing season. So what are you going to do? But it was fun, you know, watching them throw those swing passes. As far as Army's concerned, I think that the defense has a lot more questions than the offense does right now. Doesn't mean I think that they're going to be bad. I just, like, I'm looking at the players thinking about who I know is to expect to watch next season. And there's a lot of players on offense that we know, and there's a lot fewer players on defense that we know. So, unfortunately, though, it's probably harder to evaluate defense in a spring game unless you're tallying the number of tackles these linebackers are making, which I don't know how many people are really doing that up in the stands. You know, we're definitely not going to see much of regular starters in the spring game, like Bryson Daly or running back Kanye Udo. I mean, guys, we just saw Daly play a full season. Like, they're not going to run him out there in the spring game for your entertainment. Like, they got to get reps for the younger kids, right? This is the point of this game. I am, however, super curious to see how they're going to use Udo going forward, because right now, like, they got him listed at fullback, I think, and that's great. Like, he'll get the ball a lot. However, he is smaller than some of the Army fullbacks that we've seen in the past, and I think a decent amount faster and just more nimble. So I don't know that I necessarily expect him to be pounding the rock through the A-gap 30 times a game. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But I don't know if we're going to get a sense of that during the spring game. You know, he didn't play at all in that Coastal Carolina game when we sort of had the 1A version of this offense. And then the other thing that's a real shame is Zach Mundell is hurt. So I was thinking that this game was going to be a quarterback battle between Rising Cows, Zach Mundell, and Dwayne Coleman for the number 2 quarterback spot, which obviously your backup quarterback in the triple option offense is a very important player because he's going to see the field a lot, right? And Coleman looked outstanding in last year's spring game and then disappeared. Like, I think he took some snaps against LSU at the end of the route, maybe a couple of other times, but this year, one of these guys, and maybe both of them, will see legit high leverage minutes that matter a lot during the season. Yeah. And your first chance to look at Coleman, at least, running the triple is this weekend. I expect you'll see him to play a lot. Sorry, Friday, 6:30, I think, is the time.
Friday at 6:30?
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the defense, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
You noted, like, we're going to have some returning experience in linebackers. We had some great linebackers this past year.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that you can consistently say about Army, like, the linebacker room is very, very consistent. Linebackers are on the defensive side like fullbacks were for many, many years in the Army football program. Like, it's just the next man up. The next guy who comes in is a guy who's going to, you know, stand up and be the incumbent linebacker at the middle of the position. Yeah, most of our – we have to replace most of the secondary, but that's – you know, that is what it is. Like, skill positions rotate out pretty frequently in college football, and that's not a surprise. But both the DNs and the rush linebackers are going to have opportunities to move up during the spring game.
Yeah. You know, if there is somebody who's just getting after the quarterback, then maybe, you know, getting sacks, getting tackles for loss, maybe that's a guy to, you know, keep your eye on going forward. But I just think it's hard to maybe you'll see this differently, but I think it's hard to track who's making plays on defense in a scrimmage.
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, and that's one of the things that's also, I won't say it's a unfortunate, but it's a byproduct of preserving your capital on the field, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to take care of the players, and going full contact in a scrimmage, even if it's spring ball, is really not the best way of doing it, because you can nick somebody up before they take off for summer, and then they're not going to have the same, you know, they're not going to have the same level of medical care and workouts, you know, that you get when you're with the strength and conditioning coach and the team trainer.
Yeah.
And so,
well, these guys are going to go from here, you know, back to class for a month, then out to Camp Buckner for, I guess, 3 weeks or whatever. Yeah. Now, you know, do whatever Army stuff that they do. Like, that's great. Don't get me wrong. That is the West Point stuff, and it is all good. But, man, it ain't football.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things. So they got to come back lean and mean after all their summer training, whatever that looks like. And finally, you know, we have 4 punters and 5 kickers on the roster right now. I'm not certain that that's going to stay that way, but you never know. You know, you never know with Coach Munkin, because sometimes he likes certain things the way that he likes certain things. But Cooper Allen is a punter. He was a little inconsistent last year, but he's probably the guy to beat. Meanwhile, Army needs a new kickoff specialist and a field goal kicker. No one likes field goals, but you know, you got to be able to hit them at least in the spring game, so we have something to look forward to going into the fall.
Cooper Allen is like a baseball pitcher that can throw gas. Like, he can hit 100 miles an hour, but not consistently. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a couple of booming punts, but he had a couple of god-awful shanks too. And if he could be consistent, I think he'd be great. I mean, I think he can be legitimately great, but yo, a couple of games considerably more exciting than they needed to be with some of those shanks, man.
Yeah. We have to start calling him Wild Thing or get him some glasses.
Sure. Just put it into the bowl.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to highlight some of the other schools as well, since the roundtable. We'll kind of go around the horn on what's going on. So in the ACC, these are just the big games. I'm not going to talk about all of them. The full list is everywhere. You just got to look it up. But the ACC, last year's Bride Maid and future SEC contender, Florida State spring game is going to be this Saturday, the 20th of April at 4 p.m. on the ACC network. Clemson had their spring game on the 6th. Like, nobody cares. I think they got to fire Dabo and start rebuilding. That's my opinion on Clemson.
Man. Hey, what a take.
Hey, you know, the guy can't get him to the show anymore. They're Clemsoning, and he's probably part of the reason. Big Ten, you got returning champions Michigan on the April the 20th at 12 p.m. on Fox. Ohio State is April the 13th at 12 p.m. on Fox. Washington, who was still in the Pac-12, will be at 9:30 p.m. on the Pac-12 network. But, of course, they will be moving into the Big Ten. Colorado is going to be Saturday, April the 27th on the Pac-12 network. And again, that's going to shift next season. UCF, the uncrowned national champions from 2017, planned this weekend at 7 p.m.
Wild.
Yeah.
And
of course, the SEC, you've got Bama coming back. They're going to be on ESPN. Georgia's going to be on SEC Nation Plus. That's kind of a slap in the face to those guys, right? Like, you know.
No, that's the opposite of a slap in the face. That's a money grab.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, definitely. That's like putting them on pay-per-view, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. And then Texas, of course, is still having maintained their likeness rights on the Longhorn Network. But the bottom line is, if you're not sure if your team is a national brand, look at what channel they're on for this spring game.
That's a good one.
There's going to be quite a bit of broadcast. Like I said, they're everywhere. Just look it up. If you Google, Televised Spring Games 2024, you'll get the laundry list of all the different channels. And if you don't have a streaming service, maybe you can get it turned on at your local sports bar. But I don't know. I don't know if there's that much excitement for spring ball non-football fans. Like, hey, can you turn on the big screen to the Colorado spring game?
We went to a brewery a couple weeks ago when Army men's lacrosse was playing Boston University. And my wife was like, oh, just have them put it on at the brewery. I was like, that shit ain't gonna happen at all.
No. So let me just turn it on my phone probably not gonna happen. So
I mean, you're like, what are you looking at? Anyway,
yeah, for sure. All right, Dan, you want to do the commercial?
Yeah. So if you have listened to this show before, or even if you haven't, now's the time to learn that this show has a sponsor, and that is Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding. And Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Oh, excuse me. Love to hear you. Based out of Chicago, he is one of the biggest, most successful VA lenders in the country. Friends, Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. The reason that this is important is because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place, and it's just not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you. Like, deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank, not some mindless website, not get a mortgage from China.com. Like, deal with a guy who will answer the phone when you call, and that's Craig Oxane. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. We're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet if you're trying to buy or refinance a house. Finally, this is important. Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, $1,300. Granted, they're just going to roll it into the cost of your mortgage, but even so, save yourself $1,300. Oh my goodness. So Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending, check him out. The link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. He's got like a little business card up there. I just updated it when his firm was purchased by New American Funding. It'll take you right to a brand new questionnaire. Fill that thing out. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. It could not be easier. And I'm telling you, he gets 5-star reviews every time.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And that's important. So, with the economy being the way that it is, the best way to save money is to go to people that really care about your purpose. Yeah, they care about you as a customer. I think interest rates are now doubled. So if you got a house 5 years ago, you're at 4 to 6%. Now you're looking at 9 or 10, which is insane. Anyway, we're going to do some quick highlights of other sports, and then we're going to talk about Army men and women's lacrosse. But unless you were clairvoyant, your bracket got busted when Yale beat Auburn and GCU beat St. Mary's. I don't think anybody saw those two upsets coming. Purdue became the spoiler makers again. They pulled that jacket out and shut down NC State's hope of having a complete Cinderella experience. And now they're poised to take on UConn and be the first men. They're poised to take on UConn, and they're going to try and bump them off. Because UConn,
I don't know how much I believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, UConn's poised right now to be the first back-to-back NCAA basketball title winners since 2007 with Florida. The spread on the game is 6.5, which is kind of low, so they're everybody's anticipating a close game. Point total is 144.5, and the money line is leaning towards UConn at -300, and the Spoilermakers are at +250. But I say the Spoilermakers because Purdue has surprised us before, but UConn is a perennial matchup, whether it be men or women's basketball. That's a tough road to hoe. This game would be good if it wasn't tipping at 9:45 in the PM. I don't understand that. This whole March Madness is madness because all the games are starting late. So I'm assuming that they're getting a boatload of revenue out of the ads because the games are starting later and later and later.
It's not a good deal in any way. Captain Cons, we asked Cons to come on the show and he couldn't make it, unfortunately, but he just posted about that a few minutes ago. It's like he's a father. He's got a job. You're putting this game on at almost 10 o'clock at night. Like, that is insane.
Yeah.
So
halftime will be almost midnight. Yeah. For real.
And yeah, anyway, you know, it's interesting because UConn sports is in such a weird headspace because you've got the Death Star at basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally the engine of destruction of college basketball. And then football, like we'd like to take this basketball program and put them against the very best of the best every year. But then wherever they go, they got to drag that football team with them. And it's just, it's a conundrum.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And again, like, who knows? The late games are driving me crazy. I think the only people that'll truly be watching this are like truly diehard fans of basketball or gamblers in Vegas, because I just don't see it happening. But on the women's side, of course, it almost played out as expected. I think, honestly, when it came down to last night's championship game, the Gamecocks had a little bit more to lose than Caitlin Clark. I mean, they were able to put it together. They won 87-75 and took home the hardware for USC. I mean, what can you say? South Carolina is undefeated as a women's basketball program. It's nice to run the table. That rarely happens. And for them to be able to pull that off, it's pretty impressive. What are your thoughts?
I mean, they're saying Caitlin Clark is going to be like the Tiger Woods of women's basketball. And I really hope that that happens because, you know, the WNBA has been around for a long time, but they sort of need a star at that level to get eyes on the product. And it's a shame, right? Like, we're sitting here talking about what sports you want to watch. But if the WNBA was a thing, I mean, obviously it's a thing, but if it was like a high leverage, you know, part of
yes.
society, like if it was a thing people were talking about, then maybe we wouldn't feel that way, right? And so if Caitlin Clark can make that jump and sort of on her personal reputation, help them get to the next level, you know, be like the women's Michael Jordan and push them over the edge, that'd be good for everybody.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said that needs to be elevated in that sport. And it's not, you know, and it's not to take anything away from the athletes.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about play on the field, play on the court in any sense. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just talking about overall, it's like, look, like you want to have a money-making prospect. And they struggle to bring people in, and I don't know what it is. And maybe, like you said, they need a superstar. Like, they need somebody that is a paradigm changer for that sport, because there's tons of athletes there. They're playing games every year. And like, I couldn't tell you who won the last five championships.
And all the basketball aficionados, which obviously I'm not one, but they all say that the women's game is a better team game than the men's game. You know, they're not showboating all over the place. They're playing team basketball. You know, clearly the women's side this year caught the nation's attention in college. Like, Caitlin Clark was the story, more so than the men, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I think it's just it legitimately is, you know, how do you make this thing grow? You know, it's absolutely. Just like it's everything else. Like, if you're in business day one, the second question that you should get asked is, after what's the name of your business, how do you plan on scaling this thing?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And that's about it. And speaking of scaling, what other sports are you watching, Dano?
So I've been watching some UFL, not a lot. I know you're going to talk about that, so I'll leave that alone until we sort of get a little later in the outline. As you know, I have mostly been watching Army lacrosse. The season has gotten absolutely nuts. The women started on a 4-game losing streak, but then they rebounded after a close loss to number 5 Loyola. They've now won 4 straight in convincing fashion to get to 6-6 on the season, going up against Navy this weekend. Like, I don't want to say that we wrote them off when they started on a 4-game losing streak, but it was hard to make space for them in the as for lax conversation when the men are ranked number 1 and the women are losing 4 straight, right? But now, if you just look at the trajectories of the team, like, this team has got its crap together and they really do have enough talent to compete with anybody. So listen, we're coming to the highest leverage point in the season and they're peaking at the right time. So, we'll see. I mean, they almost knocked off Loyola. If they can knock off Loyola, they can knock off anybody, certainly in the Patriot League. So that's worth coming back to, you know. And then the men started, like we said, super hot, beat ranked teams, Rutgers and Syracuse, and then beat North Carolina on the road a little more than a week ago. They're 2-0 against the ACC on the road on the year. ACC is the best conference of college lacrosse, at least on the men's side. But now they've lost 2 games in the freaking Patriot League, lost to Boston University, which, okay, they've actually lost to BU 3 times straight. So, you know, that just as a matchup, that's a problem, right? But then they lost to unranked Colgate.
Yeah.
White Knights are now tied for fourth in the conference. They got to win out or they're going to wind up playing in a freaking Patriot League quarterfinal game. They were the number one team in the nation just like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Less than a month ago. It's hard to believe.
And they're still, and they still only have two losses in the season, but they're both unranked losses. And so now they're ranked 12th by Inside Lacrosse. And that's totally irrelevant. The rankings don't matter at all because they're never going to get that at-large bid with two unranked losses. It's not going to occur. So, yeah, man, these guys have – it's like Patriot League or bust. And that's – I mean, listen, this team has enough talent to win the Patriot League, and setting the goal as anything other than winning the league is never a good idea. Like, they should win. They have that much ability for sure. However, that's not where you want it to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. And for those of you guys that are wondering or didn't watch the game, like, it's Colgate, man. I hate to say this, but like, there's something about that university in the Patriot League that always causes Army problems, whether it be basketball, whether it be anything else other than like football. Colgate.
Hey, they had that amazing football team a couple years ago.
Yeah. But it's like, for some reason, like, Colgate always has something in their back pocket when it comes to playing Army. So the Red Raiders played incredibly well in defense as a team. They took away Army's Jacob Morin for once, and the rest of the guys struggled. Their goalie was he fell asleep and he was unconscious because he had like 80% saves against them, which is like bonkers. Meanwhile, Army Garchon Byrne played okay.
Goalie, I'm sorry.
Goalie Sean Byrne played well, but not as well as last week, and that mattered because that's really where Colgate won, was in the transition. So they were able to, you know, create a lot of chaos through movement, and the defense struggled with it. Army offense tried to play too fast a lot, and then when it slowed down, they just didn't create the same opportunities as Colgate did. Frustrating game, and again, you know, you hate to lose, but an unranked loss hurts a lot worse, particularly in lacrosse, just the way that the game is ranked. And so that could impact them down the road. And like you said, they got to run the table in order to at least have a remote chance at the NCAA tournament.
So Colgate beat Penn State to start the season when Penn State was ranked like 10th or 12th or something. Like, they are not a bad team. Like, they have a good lacrosse team. They outran Army. Like, they out-hustled Army, which is a thing I almost never see. Like, you just never see that. So I don't know that Army West Point in general is like good institutionally at senior day. Like, you see the football team drop games on senior day all the time. Yep. Because it's like all this hoopla and bullshit. You're on the field with your parents celebrating success, and then, oh, by the way, we got to play this game, and you get punched in the mouth, and suddenly it's like, so I wouldn't be surprised if they look completely different in the postseason, but man, that was a game you did not want to lose.
Yeah, for sure. So moving into later on this week, but both teams are playing Navy this week.
Yeah, Army Navy lacrosse this week. Both teams.
Yeah. Yeah, the men are at home for a whiteout game that will start at 1 o'clock on CBS Sports, which is cool because it's going to be on broadcast cable for once and not the ESPN firewall. The women are down in Annapolis at 4:15, and that will also be on CBS Sports. Like, Army is looking strong going into both of these games, but, you know, they've been up and down all season, and of course it's a rivalry contest, so you can throw records out the window, injuries, people being hot, people being cold, doesn't matter. It's Army Navy.
One thing I'll say about Navy lacrosse is, if you think Xavier Arline is a decent football quarterback, he's really, really good playing lacrosse. Like, the best thing you could say about Navy football over the past few years is that they made it work with a lacrosse player at quarterback.
Yeah, that's pretty telling about how talented that guy really is. You know?
He really is. We can argue about how good he was as a football player, but he's a really good lacrosse player. Nobody's arguing that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm dipping my toe into the UFL. I mean, it's exciting because it's interesting to have football in the spring. You know, they're nowhere getting near as close to, you know, the excitement of the XFL in the early 90s, you know, where it was just like bonkers. You know, however, you know, I can appreciate the talent coming over from the XFL and the UFL coming together, because I think, you know, expanding rosters give more opportunities for guys to play, you know. And like, it used to be you had the USFL and the Arena League, and that was it. And the XFL came back, and now the combination of these two leagues, you know, I hope that they can get some momentum, you know, because right now kids are making so much money with name, image, and likeness. Like, if the UFL doesn't start compensating these guys in a manner that's somewhat close to what they can get, and I'm not talking like NFL, you know, I'm not talking about NFL superstar contract, but like something commensurate with like the lowest tier player in the NFL. Because if you, you know,
Oh, quality comment.
Yes, and we really appreciate that because he hate me. Old Rod Smart, man, that guy was one of my favorite players ever in the NFL. You know, and he went on to play for the Oakland Raiders, believe it or not, back in the day. So that was pretty cool. But like, think about it. Like, with the amount of money that's in name, image, and likeness in college football right now, you've got to have a really compelling argument to say, "Hey, look,
to go to the UFL,
come play for us, right?" Like I might opt into that COVID year and get another $1 million versus, you know, going to play for the UFL. The other part of it is like, dudes are just like, you know, retiring from football and running for, I said he's running for mayor. I don't know if he is, but Frank Harris from UTSA, that guy was like 37 years old when he decided to hang up his cleats. And, you know, until they get more competitive, because again, like, one of the drawbacks of always has been of the XFL and the USFL is like, because of the timing of the way that the league is structured, like the first half of the season is garbage, you know, because they're like, it's like they're running scrimmages against the other team.
Absolutely. And just enough practice time.
Yeah. And then towards the end, the games actually like ramp up and they're actually pretty competitive, particularly when you get into the playoffs. So, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on it just to see, you know. And then after The Rock's shenanigans at Brickin' WrestleMania, like,
did you watch WrestleMania?
No, I haven't watched WrestleMania in a very, very long
time. I was prepared to go on a wrestling tangent with you after the show, you know, but if you didn't watch it, then that's okay. We'll leave that one alone.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is like, things are changing in lots of different sports. XFL, USFL merging is not such a bad thing. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I've watched like two UFL games, so not like a lot. But I did think that they are running pro style offenses better than before. You know, in the COVID year, all the XFL teams switched to the read option because they just couldn't run those pro style offenses, which was actually cool as a fan, but it was shitty for the players trying to make NFL rosters because that wasn't the game tape that they needed. So the UFL has really doubled down on making these guys run NFL plays, but with 16 teams, two leagues, they just did not have the caliber players to make that happen. So with eight teams, they've managed to make that work better. I still agree with you that the defenses are ahead of the offenses generally, which is not surprising in any way. However, it looks like professional quality football. You know, I mean, you know, they're all replacement caliber players, right? You know, Football Outsiders has that, the quote, replacement level player. These are 100% of what you're watching out there, but they still, like, they, under the right circumstances, any one of those guys could be like a backup on an NFL team, pretty much.
Yeah.
And most of the league has NFL experience, and that has been much, I personally, when I watch it, I think that they look better. I think the quality of football looks better. I've also been very, very surprised to see how much better the USFL teams are than the XFL teams. Was not expecting that at all, but I think the USFL, if they've lost a game to the XFL generally, it's only been one. And then, you know, I'm legitimately concerned for the league's future based on their current attendance. You know, the St. Louis Battlehawks are drawing, and DC, I think, drew about 16,000 fans, which is probably enough to keep them in business, at least for a while. But they got to make that thing an event, man. So, it'd be a real shame if the league folds just as they're figuring out how to put on, you know, pro football on the field in the spring.
Yeah, and I think that was the biggest thing, because, like, the first iteration of the XFL was just too much of a spectacle. I mean, like, if you go back and you watch some of those old XFL
games,
you're like, holy cow, like, how did this make it on television, let alone pass the censors and be considered a sport? It was definitely sports entertainment the first time around. Right.
Yeah.
Now it's closer to an actual sport, so I think we can appreciate it a little bit more. I like the players. It's nice occasionally seeing that one guy that you liked and when he was a college player pop up and you're like, oh, that's where he went.
PJ Walker.
Yeah. You know, and that's cool to see those guys get those opportunities that they wouldn't normally have. And I think that's ultimately the game is, you know, I want to be able to play pro ball. Here's my chance to do so. And hopefully they can keep it together long enough. I mean, You know, Rock has pretty deep pockets, and you know, Vince McMahon sans silly shenanigans charges probably can help him out as well if he survives that. But
that's all right. Well, that's a different podcast.
we can do the ins and outs of wrestling scandals like that. That would be pretty fun. Anyway, Dano, I'll cover the mailing list and you can
all right.
Favorite cool. Thing. So, hey, you like Army football and hate social media. Who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Except for you 43 people that have joined us, most of which are on Twitter. We thank you guys for jumping on because we're trying to expand the footprint of the show. If you like what we're doing, go to askforfootball.com, check us out, sign up for the mailing list. Anyway,
that's step one, get on the mailing list.
Get on the mailing list. So go to askforfootball.com/subscribe, get on the mailing list. We send out one email per week with this week's content. That's it. It's too easy. Keep up with the Army sports and As for Football. We're doing expanded coverage now that Army is in the American Conference. So we have an actual staff writer to cover the American. So Omar is going to be writing a lot about that. You'll get the usual witty banter from, you know, the team on the Army football show, and then you'll get some more content from us on the Astro or the College Football Roundtable. But bottom line is, please jump on and check it out, you know, and consider, you know, even if you don't sign up for the First Tee Club today, keep it in the back of your mind, bookmark it, do it for the football season at the very least. Check us out, see if you like it, and then we'll go from there. Dano, back to you.
I'll just double down and say, it's fine if you don't want to support us on Patreon. Like, it's not a requirement of our friendship that you, like, send me your money to. But if you like As for Football and you want to interact with us more, that's available. And it is, by the way, how we keep the lights on. Like, that's the only way we keep doing this. So, anyway. Yeah, so we have not succeeded in getting As for Baseball off the ground this season. I don't know. It's honestly, it's a little bit heavier lift than I thought we thought it was going to be. But for what it's worth, Army baseball is having, you know, kind of their standard might win the Patriot League season. They are 16-15 overall, 7-4 in the Patriot League, which is good for second place behind the Squids, who, by the way, are 19-13 and 10-5 in the league. Man, Army got beat by Fordham to open conference play. They actually got swept in the series by Fordham. Other than that, the only Patriot League contest they've lost all season has been to freaking Navy back on March 24th. So right now, Sam Ruta sits in second place all time on the Patriot League career home run list. He's got 36 home runs after hitting two monster shots this past Sunday. Why is this important? The Star Series resumes April 26th, 27th, and 28th at West Point. That's usually on CBS Sports, at least partially. Some of it might wind up on the Plus. Who knows? Guys, women, men, folks watching this show, whoever wins the Star Series is going to host that Patriot League Championship, going to have home field advantage, what have you. So that's important. Those are going to be high leverage games.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we are at the end of the show, folks. And bottom line is, this has been the Army or As for Football College Football Roundtable. And I'm your host, Rob, out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling you out of Coastal Connecticut, potentially the home of the men's NCAA champions.
That's the way I would bet.
If you're willing to stay up tonight and watch that game, you know, start pounding the coffee now so you have some energy for that. But again, we love doing this show. We have worked hard to get it in a format that is easily digestible, and it's easily to reproduce for us as well as get it out to you as quickly as possible. We did this open. We'll probably do most of our off-season shows open on Twitter and YouTube just to get more people eyes on the show. However, again, just another cheap plug for the First Tee Club. So sign up for that on Patreon. And if not, at the very minimum, please slide on over and jump onto the website and register for the mailing list. Anyway, I'm Rob, and we've got Dan on the other side. And we will talk to you guys again in a couple weeks.
Beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the AFF team for more hot takes and college football analysis. You can sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. Or you can follow us on all social media platforms at As for Football. And as always, beat Navy.